It's a joy to be here, I tell you. I'm like the lightning bug that backed into the electric fan. I'm delighted. I really am. God bless your heart. And it's good to see. You know, I'm excited about what I see happening in the South. I really am. I look around here with all this vanilla and see some chocolate. I like that. That's New Testament local church. That's what that's all about. And I'm praying for America. It's not too late for God to send revival. Really, it's not. I really believe that. And I want to tell you something. I am an American, okay? I'm not an African-American, okay? All right? I want to get that straight, all right? You call me anything but late for a free meal, okay? But I am an American. I'm not an African-American because of the connotation that goes along with that and all that problem. And I brought my friend with me tonight. My wife is telling people wherever I go that that's his son, but it's not mine. Really. So one of my sons already died, Hank Hobble. I led Hank to the Lord over 30 years ago. And in January, I preached his funeral. I preached a lot of funerals in 45 years. Ladies and gentlemen, that was one of the hardest funerals that I ever had to preach, that Hank. I miss him, but I'll see him again. Thank God for that. Okay, well, I'm not going to be long with this little guy. And I'll get him out of sight. Because out of mind is out of sight. You didn't think it was white, did you? You crazy? I ain't sticking my hand no white boy back. Amen. His name is Seth. Christ for every child first. God bless and open the door at television for me with this little dog for over 19 years, absolutely free, teaching the Word of God using visual aids. And there were people that got saved. And some of them, they're adults now, but they grew up watching that program. And the people that wrote in and said they'd never heard anything like that before in their lives. One of the things that really blessed my heart was that a Roman Catholic nun wrote the TV station and said she got saved. She had never heard anything like that in her life. And I thank God for that. Well, Seth.
Yes, sir.
You know where we are?
I sure do.
Where are you?
We're right here.
Okay. All right. We're here at a camp meeting.
Where is that?
That's in America. That's in North Carolina. And they asked us to come.
What do you mean, us?
Well, I brought you along.
What?
I brought you along for my protection.
You're in trouble, kid.
You mean you wouldn't protect me?
No, sir.
Okay, that's all right. I got plenty of brothers here.
Where are they?
Raise your hand, brothers.
You're sick.
What's the matter?
Did you look at them?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Do your mom and dad know that they're your brothers?
Yeah, mom and dad knew that they were my brothers.
You need help. You really do.
You see, boy, wait a minute, let me tell you a thing. It's not on the outside. It's on the inside.
I'm glad you told me, because all I can see is the outside.
Okay. All right. Well, listen. I'm going to put you away, and I just want the people to see you and say hello to them, and now I'm going to preach.
You're going to do what?
I'm going to preach.
You're going to put me away?
Yeah.
Folk, if you're not like me, you'll go away too.
Okay. All right. Well.
on your lapel.
What'd I do wrong here?
Just clip it on your lapel.
Put it back up here?
Yeah. There you go.
Okay, I'm kind of paranoid about these things. About 4 or 5 years ago, I preached in Chattanooga, Tennessee, revival. And I put my little friend down and went to the bathroom. And he forgot to turn it off. And when I came back, everybody doing just like you're doing now. And I asked the pastor, I said, "What happened? What's wrong?" He said, "We forgot to turn the lapel mic off and we heard everything." I said, "You kidding?" He said, "No, sir." You know, those people in Chattanooga remember one thing. They don't remember anything I preach. But they remember that we forgot to turn the lapel mic off. Well, preacher, thank you for having me come. I'm sorry I got to leave tomorrow morning, but I'll start another meeting on Wednesday. I was just in Richmond last week at a missions conference. And then, what was your name again? I was with whatever his name is yesterday, had a good time. And then we went to the nursing home this morning, and it was a great blessing, I tell you, just to be there with those dear folk. And then coming here, driving, trying to find the place, I was wondering if I was still in America. Or has it been explored yet? I didn't know. I got on 42 to go to the motel. I kept going and going and going and going. And went so far, I turned and came back. So my wife said, "Stop." And she called. And I told, "Go back to 42. I said, "Just went there." I said, "Go back again. You didn't go down far enough." I said, "Good gracious. I finally found it. Praise the Lord." And I left early to come back to set up my display board out there. I hope you'll take a look and take a prayer card and pray for us. I say along with Paul in Romans 9, 10, and 11, my heart's desire and prayer for God is for my brother and my kinsmen according to the flesh. They know not God. They know not the Lord Jesus Christ. I maintain this, and this is the truth. You may not like it. We've sent missionaries from the shores of America to Africa, New Guinea, jungles of South America to reach black people and let black people sit on our doorstep and die and go to hell. And we claim we love Jesus. No, no, it ain't convenient. I tell you, it never has been convenient. It never will be convenient. You say you love the Lord, you can determine your love for the Lord by your obedience to the Word of God. That's what it's all about. Well, I ain't mad at you. I just hate sin. My own. You know I hate yours. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter number 1. A lot of our brethren, Pentecostals and Charismatics, talk about the gifts. Lady asked me one time after I finished preaching on TV, I came out of the studio, and she said, "Oh, that's one of the greatest messages that I ever heard." Now, I know I bomb out from time to time. Compliments are like perfume. Nice to smell, but don't swallow. She asked me if I had spoken in tongues since I believed. I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "You have?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." I said, "You should hear the old nasty tongue I spoke with before I got saved." Really? And then she's talking about the gifts of the Spirit. She said, "Do you have a gift?" I said, "I sure do." She said, "What is it?" I said, "Discerning spirits. And I can tell if what you got ain't of God is of the devil." But that was the end of the conversation. I walked out. I hurried up and got out of that place. In Philippians chapter 1. There's a gift in the Bible. I want to preach to you about that. There's a gift in the Bible that nobody wants. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 29. "For unto you it is given." Now, I'm not too smart. If something is given to you, isn't it a gift? Yes. Hello, you still here? Yes. If something is given to you, isn't it a gift? Yes, yes it is. "It is given to you in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. That's a gift. You may not like it, but it's a gift. God knows what he's doing in my life and your life. There are lessons that I just don't learn when everything's going fine. I don't. And God knows what he's doing in my life, and I just commit it to him. Sometimes I tell him the things that happen. Lord, I don't like this, but I love you. And I want your will to be done. Now, some of you tonight are going through hard places, difficult things. You're suffering something that you can't articulate to anybody. You won't even say it to anybody. A few weeks ago, a little before Thanksgiving, my wife has asthma real bad and allergies. That woman's allergic to everything. Dust, pollen, ragweed, cut grass, everything, chemicals. I said to her one day, honey, if you're allergic to black people, we got a problem. Really. And she got sick. She woke up that morning and she said, I can't breathe. I said, we're going away from here. So I called a rescue squad. They checked her out and immediately took her to the hospital. When she got in the hospital with the asthma and couldn't breathe, they gave her a steroid. And her blood sugar went up over 500. That's enough to kill you. And then right on the end of that, our second daughter came up with breast cancer and was taking chemotherapy and radiation therapy. And then her niece dropped dead in the hospital, 25 years of age. And then Hank died. All this happened within a period of 3 weeks. And before we left home, we buried her stepmother. She said, what in the world's going on? But I backed off and took a second look. And I quoted Romans 8:28. Now you can quote it when things are happening to other people, but can you quote it when it's happening to you? Then my son-in-law dropped dead. They found him in the middle of the street. My daughter got married in August. This is the baby girl. Got married in August, and we buried her husband in January. He was concerned about his family. He wanted them saved. But you know what God did? He died, and four of his family members got saved. So God knows what he's doing. It hurt. Yes, it did. Now, to me, that's a degree of suffering, along with my physical ailments. You see me walking with that cane? That's trying to impress you, give you, get sympathy for you. No, it's not. I'm hurting, folk. My back, you know you can old when your back goes up more often than you do. And my back is really getting me. I've had hepatitis with yellow jaundice. I contracted that in the military. When I was a boy growing up, I had epilepsy with grandma's seizures. Back in those days, they didn't know anything about medication. The only thing that they had was phenobarbital and Dilantin. I'm a diabetic. I shoot insulin 4 times a day. And then they found out that I have an aneurysm at the brain stem. They looked at it. They said if they touched it, it would have killed me. And they closed it back up. And then about a year later, I went back. I was having trouble with my neck from sticking it out so much. No, found I had 2 herniated discs in my neck. And then Arthur dropped on my neck, in my shoulder, my arm, and my back. I'm just dying to get out of this world. So are you. So I began to look at it in the light of the Word of God. What's going on, Lord? I'm not asking you why, but I see what you're doing. God knows how to get you to pray. One thing I don't want you to see, I want my prayer life up on the wall. But God knows how to get you and me to pray. There are times that things just don't work. Medication won't get it done. But prayer works. Would you look with me at Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse number 65. Look at this. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe thy commandment. Here it is. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, and I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Father, bless your word. May the Holy Spirit of God teach us, speak to us, bring glory unto thyself. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was with Brother Mike this morning, and we went to that nursing home, and we saw all those folk there in the wheelchair. I call them the wheelchair brigade. They delighted for us to be there, and we delighted to be there with them. What a great blessing to be, just to speak to them and to kind of encourage them. They were glad to see us. I hope I can come back again and go over there. I may wind up being a resident. I don't know. But anyway, God's good. Now, look at this. In the ninth, Acts chapter 9. Look at verse number 15 of Acts chapter 9. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Verse 16, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. In Psalm 34:19 it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Do you hear what I'm saying? Listen, God may not see fit to raise you up off a bed or to heal you, but if he called you home, you've been delivered, believe me. Really? He'll take you home. He knows what he's doing. And when he does that, he's speaking to somebody that may not be saved. Or he's speaking to somebody who is saved and not living for the Lord. Further, look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And verse number 8. Look at verse 7. It says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. For we have the same spirit of faith, according as is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present you, us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Amen. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction. Did you understand that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let me ask you something. How many of you are desirous to have real power with God? Would you raise your hand? Amen. That's my desire too. But I want you to do something. Turn back to Philippians again. Chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. That I may know him. Paul was already saying. That I may know him. And the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his sufferings. Being made conformable unto his death. You just said you want resurrection power. There's the formula for it. There's no shortcut. That I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. Let me say, there's some things, it's good to rejoice and praise God, but there's some things that you cannot jump up and down and shout and rejoice about. In your own family, with your husband or your wife or your kids or your grandkids, you can't rejoice in that. It breaks your heart, but it causes you to get on your face before God and cry out, say, God, you know very well what you're doing. I don't understand, but I want you to know one thing, that I love you. And I do rejoice. I praise you that I never died in my sins and went to hell. You saved me by your marvelous, matchless, infinite grace, and I love you. So whatever you're doing, give me the grace for it. That's what he said to Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. While we're right here. Verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelation of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up in the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, to the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. The messenger said, God did this. He didn't give a devil credit for it. A lot of people are giving the devil credit for it. Listen, he can't do a thing to you unless God permits it. He can't touch you, brother. Read the book of Job. There are two books in the Bible that are books of joy. One of them is the book of Job in the Old Testament, and the one is the book of Philippians in the New Testament. Paul saying about joy, he was in prison in a dungeon, suffering for the name of Christ, and he writing a book about joy. Circumstance got nothing to do with it. Sometimes I speak to some people, how are you today? I'm pretty good under circumstance. I ain't under no circumstances. You may be under circumstances. I'm in Christ, and he knows all about me. There's nothing can come to me unless the Lord allows you. You either. The whole thing is your attitude. What's your attitude? What is your attitude toward things that come your way? Toward suffering. What is your attitude? All you got to do is look to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, though he were a son of God, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And there are things that you and I learn, we don't learn except we're suffering. Unless we're going through deep poverty, all kinds of things. God knows all about it. But my God shall supply all your need. Huh? According to what? You said it, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You want to give? Whether you want it or not, you got it. It goes with the territory. Are you listening? Some of you men are pastors, and you're going through some deep water with some of your people. That's good for you. It won't hurt you. Really, God will use them to knock the rough edges off of you and use you to knock the rough edges off of them. And some of them, some of them are mean. Oh, man. They treat you wrong. They think they're doing right. But let me tell you what. I've been preaching for 45 years. I pastored for 19 years. And after being out the pastor and missionary for 20 years, have people knock on my door. Come to see me after all these years. I said, preacher, I just had to come see you. I said, well, praise the Lord, I'm glad you did. So I had to get things right with God. And I had to get things right with you. When I was at the church, I didn't do right. I was a troublemaker. I did things. I said things that were wrong. I spoke against you. And I want you to forgive me. I said, I didn't even know it. But I forgive you. I said, let me ask you something. Why did you have to carry it that long? You didn't have to carry it that long. I just want to come see you and say, ask you to forgive me. I said, I gave you when it was done. You know what? That's the grace of God. It really is. I've had some threaten to shoot me. One guy was outside of the church when they had preached, and he was mad as a hornet. And he said, if I had my gun, I'd shoot him. The guy said, what'd you say? She said, if I had my gun, I'd shoot him. He said, you want to borrow mine? I didn't know it. He told me later. The same man, on Sunday night, we had a time for testimony. And he's back in the back. He said, preacher, I want to give a testimony. I said, come on, brother. He said, I want to come up there. I said, okay, come on. Well, one of our men moved up and sat on the front seat and leaned forward. Well, he was twice Vietnam veterans. And he reached in his pocket. I saw him, and he took his wallet out. We weren't going to take no offering. And he was holding it in his hand. And the man was standing beside me giving a testimony. And after service, the man went and sat down. That man that sat on the front seat said, preacher, I got something I want to show you. I said, what is it? He opened his wallet, and it was a pistol made in his wallet. And he said, I heard him say that if he had his gun, he'd shoot you. You didn't know it. You didn't hear it. He said, but I'd already made up my mind that if he'd come anywhere close to you, that I was going to shoot him in the pulpit. Lord, thank you. Thank you. I didn't know that. God protects you, brother. Even listen, he'll take care of you. You can't go till it's time for you to go. I don't care how anxious you get. If you get all that anxious, you want to go up on I-95 at peak traffic hours, step out in the middle of it, and see if they turn away from you. They're not going to do that. Look at this. Paul said, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. Look at this. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. Lord, thank you for that. Lord, thank you that you care that much for us. That you allow things to happen to us. And then you use these things for your own glory and your own honor. One of the things that my wife and I really suffered down through the years was with our family, our parents, people in our family. Because of a simple reason, we were not traditional denomination. We were saved. And we studied the Word of God. Back in those days, I couldn't go to Bible college, but you don't stop God. You put Jack in a box, you don't put God in a box. I listened to Oliver B. Green on the radio, G. Christian Wise, Donald Gray Barnhouse, Charles Fuller, all of the greats. I heard them. I even had the joy of sitting in the meeting when Oliver Green preached. It blessed my heart. And then Oliver never gave away any books, sold books. He gave them away. And then I took Bible correspondence course to Moody Bible Institute out of Chicago. That was back when Moody was real good. I ain't moody about it. And anyway. And I began to preach. God called me to preach, scared the daylights out of me. I started preaching on the street corner. In jail. I like preaching in jail. You got a captive audience. They ain't going nowhere. They're not going anywhere. Do you know what? Listen, I had guys in the jail say to me, that's a white man's Bible. I'm on this side of the bars. He's on the other side. I said, come here, stupid. Let me show you something. You said it's a white man's Bible. I said, look at this. I said, the black words on top of the white page for a change. So go over and sit down and let me preach. You know what he did? He sat down and let me preach. God give wisdom, folk. I don't have sense enough to say nothing like that. I tell people wherever I go, ladies and gentlemen, the problem ain't skin, it's sin. It ain't race, it's grace. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. People need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of the simple reason I was over here with y'all, and some of the brethren say, what are you doing over here with us? How come you ain't over there with them? And I'd be over there with them. And you know what they say? We don't want you over here with us because you were just over there with them. You can't win for losing. I was at a fellowship meeting and I was the only black guy in there. I looked like a fly in a bowl of milk in that crowd. And the preacher came up to me and said, what are you doing in here? I said, I'm here for the fellowship.
He said, we don't allow black people in here. I said, you don't? He said, no. I said, well, how'd you get in here, bro? See, you ain't white. You one of them black boys that's real light, and you passing. That's what you're doing. You ain't fooling me. You ain't fooling me one hour. And a preacher over there said, I told him not to bother Brother Earl. So he won't bother him anymore after that. Beloved, look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 while we're here, okay? You see, you look at all these things that the Apostle Paul went through. He's the Apostle of Gentiles. Heretofore in the Old Testament, Gentiles were not included. The Jews hated the Gentiles, and the Gentiles hated the Jews. But one of the classic passages I preached on yesterday, I love it. John chapter 4. When Jesus met that woman at Samaria. He's breaking down the... Excuse me while I shout. He's breaking down the barriers. He sent his disciples away to go get some groceries. To get them out of his way while he dealt with that Samaritan woman. And that thing was twofold. The Jews hated them and they hated the Jews. But she said, the Jews, listen to this. How is it thou hast to drink of me, which of a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritan. That was a twofold thing. But Jesus didn't even answer that. He kept right on talking to her. He started talking to her about a drink of water. I like that, brother. Hey, listen, let me tell you this. What we need to do is lose the argument, but win the person. A lot of time we win the argument and lose the person. Don't attack their religion. Don't attack the national leaders in the black community. Let people know that you love them. There's no defense against love. That's how I got saved. My wife got saved. Listen to Oliver B. Green, and I watched my wife. I couldn't stand it. She was so sweet and kind and loving to me, I couldn't take it. If I hadn't got saved, I'd have said, blowed my brains out if I could have found them. But she loved me, and she prayed for me. And I tell her, I said, you know what? Next month we married 55 years. I said to her, listen, if you were, I wish you were sweet now as you were then. She said, that's what changed me. I've been married to you all these years. A smart aleck woman. Our people in our family had nothing to do with us. I didn't belong to the ministerial assassination. She didn't belong to the Eastern Star. I didn't belong to the Masonic Lodge. I did belong to the NAACP, Lifetime Membership, National Association for the Advancement of Christian People. Don't you belong to that one? I got lifetime membership. You thought I was going the other way, did you? No. Look what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Do you know in order to be a saint, you get saved? You don't have to wait to die. And the Catholic Church may sanitize you or whatever they call it. I don't know what it is. You can be a saint. Here it is right here. Right here in the Bible. If you ain't a saint, you ain't. That's right. The only way you get to be a saint is be born again. Amen. Receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I've delivered unto you first of all the gospel, which will also preach how that Christ died for our sins according to scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scripture. I like that. For whosoever, I like that, shall call upon the name of the Lord. Lottie, Dottie, and anybody. It don't make any difference. Who you are, come just as you are.
And he'll save you. All you do is agree with God against yourself. God says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what I like about God? He made two, male and female. Adam and Eve. Not Adam and Steve. Not even if it. No, no. You know, they're talking about they're gay. Gay used to mean funny. What that crowd doing ain't funny. God said, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. This crowd can't multiply. They can't bear fruit. All they do is recruit. That's all they do. And let me tell you one thing. If you are queer, excuse me, homosexual, God will save you. Are you listening? God will save you. But you have to come just as you are. You can't help him do nothing. Just come just as you are. I like that song. We sing, just as I am, without one plea. And that thy blood was shed for me. And that thou biddest me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. Let me tell you what I did several years ago. This comes to my mind. I was in a meeting in Tennessee. First black guy in that church to preach. And one of the men went to the pastor. Pastor, do you think that if I asked him to come to the house for dinner, he'd come? Pastor, I talked to him. He did. He said, sure, he'll go. So he came to me. He said, preacher, I'd like you to come go home with me. I said, sure. He enticed me with a free meal. We got in the car, and we kept going and going and going. I mean, way back in the woods. They had to pump them sunshine back there. They were so far back. And I looked up in the car and said, Lord, is this it today? I'm going back here. We got to his house. Beautiful house. Sitting back in the woods. Went on in. And his wife was in there cooking. And he said, Brother Earl, would you like to have some homemade cherry pie or some crackling bread? I said, what? Crackling bread? Fresh crackling? He said, yeah. I said, I'll take crackling bread any day. So we sat there, and he fixed a pot of coffee. And we sat there, and cut a hunk of that crackling bread and threw a slab of butter in there and the butter room. Brother, you know what I'm talking about. And he said, Brother Earl, I got something I want to show you. He went in the bedroom and came back with a photograph. And he had on a Klansman outfit. On his sleeve was a cross. He had been the state chaplain for the Ku Klux Klan. And he started to cry. And I said, Brother, let me tell you something. I'm sitting here with you, and I was a black militant in rioting and all that stuff, all the civil rights demonstration, and God spared my life. And I'm saved by the grace of God. I said, here I'm sitting in the living room of a man that was a Klansman. And here's a black militant that's saved. And we up there eating crackling bread and drinking coffee and loving each other and thought, that's it. That's the key. That's the thing that works. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. God will transform your heart and your life if you let him. He allowed things to come your way to show you things not about other people, but about yourself. I had to come to realize that and tell God, God, it ain't other people. It's not them and me. God, it's me against you. And I don't want to be like this. I want you to do something in my heart. and take this bitterness. I'm saved too. And take this bitterness out of my heart. Ladies and gentlemen, bitterness is the only chemical that will destroy its own container. And you can fake it all you want to, but when it comes down to the things of God, God will stop you. He'll bring you to the point to show you about yourself. And he's still doing that. That's what it's all about. Let me say this. If you got anything in your heart like that, this camp meeting is just for you. It's just for you. God ordered this just for you. Those of us that are here, be preaching. God allowed that just for you. I can say things that perhaps this pastor can't say, but I'll say them. Do you hear me? Amen. Are you listening? Amen. Are you listening? Amen. My skin is the color it is because God made it that way. And God's satisfied. And I'm just as happy as if I had good sense. One thing for sure, I don't have to worry about buying no suntan lotion in June. No, not me. No. My idea for having fun in the sun is getting me a glass of Kool-Aid in an air-conditioned room. That's fun in the sun. Not greasing like a hog on a spit, laying out in the sand and burning. Trying to get you a tan. Don't find me out there. I ain't laying out there. I know how to get you a tan. You ready? He says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you rules over many. Anything you want well done, you stick it in the fire. And that's the way you get your tan. Let God stick you in the fire. Grace be unto you. Grace be to you. And peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Father of mercies, look at this, and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abound by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant. When we were in school, there was a lady I called an unclaimed blessing. Some people call her old maid. No, I wouldn't do that. She had never been married. And I said to her one day when she was over the house, I said, Maria, why is it that you have never been married? And she said, I've got scripture for not having been married. I said, what is it? She said, I would not have you ignorant brethren. I said, Maria, you've got a point there. We do have some ignorant brothers. So when I read about being ignorant, I think about Maria and what she said. Look at this. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Hey, what happened, Paul? Because of the suffering and the trial against, and his own brethren against one to kill him. For what? For preaching the gospel to him. They eventually did. They did the Lord Jesus too. And beloved, unless God intervene, the same thing will happen to me and you. When you go soul winning and knocking on doors, you don't know what's behind that door. There have been people that have gotten killed from knocking on doors. I've been out there in the project. People were poor, dirt poor. They were so poor there were 34 letters between P and R. Poor. We have nothing. Knock on the door. They had seen me on television. And they opened the door. You couldn't even see, and it was so dark in there. Come in. You go in and start to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And somebody gets over and lights a can of Sterno. That's the light that he's got in there. And you tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. You witness to them. Listen, the Lord Jesus said, follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. A lot of us older Christians run off young Christians. A young fella comes, and he got earrings in his nose, in his tongue, in his eyebrow, maybe wearing long plaits or braids or whatever. And a girl come in, and she hardly got on no clothes. I call it the 11th commandment, thou shalt not cover. And some holier-than-thou sister looks at her like she's dirt. Listen, if you love God all that much, why don't you take that girl down to the flea market and buy her some dresses? Huh? Listen, how many of you love the fish? How many of you love to clean them after you catch them? Raise your hand. Uh-huh. Jesus said, follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. Catch them, but let him clean them. Amen. He'll do it. You see, when you got saved, there was, listen, God didn't tell me before he saved me, quit drinking liquor. Get that beer out your refrigerator. Yeah, that's right. Get rid of the Marlboro. Since I've been saved, the Marlboro country to the cemetery. He didn't tell me to get rid of that. He saved me. He didn't tell me about Kitty. That's what I called it. It's tithing. Some of y'all still call it titty because you ain't doing it. And you can put it out. He just dealt with my heart. Nobody preached to me. I said, I ain't giving 10% of my money to nobody. And the Holy Spirit said, okay, keep it. So I kept it. And it began to bother me that I didn't do it. And I got on my face before God and told God, God, I am one stingy black man. I want to hang on to it, but it belongs to you. Will a man rob God? You know he will. He'll rob you. You know he'll rob God. Then I started doing it. And the more I did it, the better I liked it. Then I got involved in faith, promise, missions, giving. And then started giving the love offering. I said, man, this is good. This is good. This is worth this. What a fool I was to deprive myself of the blessing of God and not being obedient to God's word. And then in the first missions conference, God spoke to my heart as to what to give. I'll tell you what he told me to give. I ain't have no job nowhere. Give $25 a week. I said, whoa, wait a minute. I ain't got no $25 to give. And then I heard the man say, God giving through you what he would not give to you for world evangelization. And then the next missions conference, I had already made up my mind, fill out the card, what to give. I'm going to give $25. And they collected the cards. And then the Holy Spirit said, yeah, that was your card. Here's mine. I said, whoa, what are you doing, Lord? $50 a week. What? And then I got home and asked my wife, honey, did you fill out a pray promise card? Sure did. Tell me what you put in there. She said, woman, you crazy.
What did you do that for? Where are we going to get it from?
She ain't missed and I ain't missed it. It's more blessed to give than it is received. This thing of giving started with God a long time ago. You know, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have present possession, have everlasting life. And you know, it's a joy to give. It really is. The more you give, the more God gives you. Hey, what did he say here? Concerning the afflictions and the trials. He says in verse number 8, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. Proof of Christ in me and in you. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. And I'm closing. Don't worry about that. I close several times in one message before I'm through. Look at verse number 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. You know what the difference between a trial and a fiery trial is? One of them is red hot. The fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. And what he says, in fiery trial, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with his angel. Wait a minute, Peter. What's wrong with you? You said rejoice, be glad, exceeding joy. When? In the midst of the fiery trial that shall come upon you. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, as a busybody in others' men matters. If any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. I have met some Christians in jail. Did you hear me? In penitentiary. Why? Because of the disobedience. The one man I met, he was keeping the uniforms, give them to the prisoners as they came by. I went over there where he was and invited him and said, sir, I'm going to be preaching here, and I'd like to invite you to come and hear me preach. He said, no. I asked the sheriff, who was a pastor, I said, sheriff, how much is minimum wage? He told me. And I said to the man, I'll give you minimum wage for 1 hour if you come and hear me preach. I said, but I'm not talking about the devotional part, singing a song, reading scripture. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you sit there and hear me preach for 1 solid hour, and I'll give you the money. And the sheriff said, you can't give it to him, but you give it to me, and I'll give it to him. I said, okay. So I gave it to the sheriff. That man came, and we were sitting on the mezzanine, and he sat right down the front. And I preached. And I gave the invitation. That man popped up like that seat was on fire. And he came forward and got gloriously saved. And I said, well, now that you got saved, I don't have to give you no money. He said, you better give me my money. I gave it to him. Then I went over on the side where the ladies were. They let me go over there, and I preached over there. Those ladies delighted to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Several of them got saved. You know what's wrong with the world today? Us. Us. What's the problem with us? We're not obeying God. Now, if you have a potluck dinner, you could fight them off with a stick. But have prayer meeting, you can't hardly muster a corpus God. or have soul winning, folk want to come. Lord, what is it going to take for us? What is it going to take? I don't know. I know one thing. God will do it. We talk about the politics and election. Well, I've already been elected. I got no problem. Might have asked me one time about what these smart aleck Bible college students, sophomore, one who knows everything, asked me about election. Can I explain? I said, sure, I can. No problem there. They thought I was going to give them some deep theological discussion. I said, well, one time there was an election. God had a vote. Devil had a vote, and I had a vote. God cast his vote for me. The devil cast his vote for me. I cast my vote for God, and God won the election. What else you want to know? There's some things that we can't explain. You don't need to even try. When I was in Bible college, you can forget it. Guy know Greek and Hebrew. And don't know the mind of God on some things. Some things are just, you have to believe it. You have to accept it. Say, God said it and that settled it. That's all. I don't know. There are things that I can't explain naturally. I can't explain how a black cow eats green grass to give white milk to turn to yellow butter and not to save my life. You can't either, so don't even try. The Bible says, though he were his son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Let me show you something here concerning suffering. With all of the things that the Apostle Paul went through in the Lord Jesus Christ, let me show you something. You see what we got today? Do you see what we've got today? Amen. Thank God for it. Amen. Thank God for the Word of God. Now, those of you that are supposed to be so intellectual, get rid of the New King James. Get rid of all of this other stuff. These guys come along and tell you that we're ignoramuses because we don't know the original languages. At least as I look in the front of mine, old 1611 King James, I don't find a lesbian woman that wants a translator. You didn't know that, did you? Yeah. Churches are ordaining women to the pastorate. And the Bible's plain. It says, if a man desire the office of a bishop, a man, M-A-I-N, man. They say a man, they didn't change that. Okay, what they say? Fella told me one time, he left our church, hadn't seen him for years. Then he came to my house and I talked to him. He's one of us got things straight. I said, where you go to church now? And he told me. I said, who's the pastor? Mrs. Amos. What? Mrs. Amos? You mean Amos and Andy? No. I said, man, you know what about you? I taught you for the Word of God. You know what he said? Oh, that was back then, Paul's day. It don't work today. Listen. I'm not going to say anything to you that you haven't heard before. Get in the book. And when suffering comes, you know what's going on. You can say, though he slay me, Yet will I trust you. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. You know one thing? Jesus could come anytime now. I'm gonna look just like him. Say, is he black? Tell you about Christian being dumb. I would not have you ignorant, brethren. We will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. I close on this note. I love you because I love Jesus. And said, I don't like you. God don't tell you to like me. He command that we love each other. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciple if you have love one to another. Not for another, one to another. That's a definite difference. I thank you for allowing me to come, brother. And I know why you had me come. You couldn't get nobody important, so you got me. Thank you.